Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Is the phone number here. That number is 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever is on your mind. You can talk about what we're talking about, or later on maybe change the topic, because we do have a caller already on the line who is going to talk with us about a very specific topic. Roger Ver, Bitcoin Jesus, was arrested in Spain by the United States Empire yesterday, and we just need to talk about what we know so far. I've started reading the indictment, but with you in the studio on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Chris.
And here on the phone with us via Jitsi, give me a second, we have Aaron Day with us. How are you doing today, Aaron?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing really well, except, I mean, that news made me very sad. I know exactly what they're doing. They're going after him for politically motivated reasons and harming him. I think it's because he just came out with a book about the CIA's involvement in Bitcoin. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think the timing of it is very suspicious. I actually just had Roger on my podcast a couple of weeks ago to talk about his book.
Wow.
And the book, the whole theme of the book is basically how Bitcoin was hijacked by a very specific group of people. And he provides irrefutable proof. Hmm. The book is just filled with facts. In fact, I've known Roger since 2012, and I was expecting, based on how Roger was personally treated by the BTC community, that there would be a lot of personal anecdotes in here, and it would be a lot of him kind of venting. And there was actually none of that. The book is all factual, and he actually uses, you know, the Bitcoin core developers quotes directly. He's mostly quoting other people, not making opinions himself. And it's a very, very damning book for the people that are responsible for taking what was supposed to be peer-to-peer digital cash for the entire world and turning it into an elite asset class that at the same time makes it easy to roll out CBDCs.
Hmm. I definitely think that this arrest and the arrest of tons of people related to cryptocurrency, Mark Risen, I think his name is, and Ian Freeman, my husband and the founder of this show we're on, and now Roger Ver, I definitely think these are related to the fact that the government wants to roll out CBDCs, and CBDCs are central bank digital currencies, and they would make it to where basically we have no freedom ever again to transact in a way that the government doesn't know exactly what you've done.
Well, yeah, they need a monopoly on it.
Yeah.
Cash is the last step. They have to do away with cash.
Hmm. And they've been making little steps towards that, I think.
So I wrote a book about this, and actually ran for the last time I was on Free Talk Live, I was running for president in the Republican primary, specifically to bring awareness to this central bank digital currency issue. And that was over a year ago. And at that time, what I was suggesting is that the government has a two-pronged approach. One, they want to crack down on decentralized crypto and while simultaneously developing central bank digital currencies. This is not a conspiracy theory. It's actually Executive Order 14067 that President Biden signed on March the 9th, 2022. So this executive order actually states, we will use a whole of government approach. So, I mean, the reason that there were, whatever, five federal departments raiding Ian and raiding the Crypto Six, that's a whole government approach. But you see that just in the past week, you've seen everybody from, it's a lockstep. It's the FBI saying, hey, if you bought crypto from an unlicensed money transmitting service and your crypto is pooled, we can come back and claw back your crypto. You have the IRS say, you have the IRS saying, we're going to change the 1099 forms. You now have to report self-custody crypto.
And
they are, yeah.
Another thing that seems to be a change and that's new that I noticed when I was reading the indictment was that they used the exact language that was just being argued about in Ian's case. So what they're doing is they're building upon each of these cases to change the definitions of things to prosecute the next person. In Ian's case, they kept arguing that the prosecution would say, oh, Bitcoin wallet addresses are analogous to bank account numbers. And then Sissy Ian's lawyer would be like, no, that's not the same thing. A wallet in your pocket is not the same thing as a bank address number, is it? I mean, a bank account number, is it? And then they were like arguing back and forth. But since Ian was found guilty, they just get to say everything the prosecution says is truth now.
Well, for a while, they were saying that, oh, that's not money. That's not anything, crypto. So when did they decide that it was money? Was it before Roger left?
I think that it was literally during Ian's trial. Because they just basically, that was a huge argument that, well, not just a huge argument. Aria DeMezzo's lawyer put in a motion to dismiss the whole case based on the fact that Bitcoin's not money and that these laws that they were being prosecuted with, the Patriot Act, were created in 2001, like 10 years or almost 10 years before Bitcoin was invented at all, so it couldn't possibly like fall under that definition. And the judge just said, no, I think the definition of money seems to cover the word or the like what Bitcoin is, so therefore we're just gonna
move
on.
Roll with it.
Yeah.
It fits what we want it to fit, so that's what we're going to do.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I just think it's relevant to this case with Roger Ver because they just, you know, keep piling on different new definitions of things and making precedent here and there, and then they just go after you. They really can just, like, rewrite history and, reality by just changing definitions like that.
You're kidding. Well, one of the things federal government does this?
Yep.
They just change the conversation, just make up new laws and new words to mean what they want to do?
Yeah.
Say it ain't so.
They make it impossible to really comply. Like, as we'll see with this Roger Ver indictment, he hired a law firm to tell him what the right thing to do was. And, well, they say that the lawyers advised him incorrectly, so therefore he needs to be indicted by the DOJ. And it's just like, you can't comply hard enough for these people.
You can't. It cannot be done. You cannot come up with an argument that says, I have followed everything and the federal government cannot touch me.
Well, that's because they changed the rules.
Right. They do this.
Yeah.
And it's nothing new. It happens every day. And they've been doing it for years. And the only thing they've done is ramped it up.
Hmm.
Specifically towards crypto.
Yeah, they have.
But it's not going to stop until something happens.
The worst thing about it is that Bitcoin was not created by any kind of government, like issued by government or anything like that. It was just created by a person, and it has nothing to do with any one government or state or anything. And I think that it's something that they should just realize they have no business in. But of course, they are not going to do that because it threatens their security as an empire.
So from what I can tell, all of this coordinated crackdown on pro-liberty crypto started in 2017. 2017 was essentially when Bitcoin was hijacked, as per Roger's book. I'm interviewing a guy tomorrow named Steven Nerioff, who was actually one of the first people involved with Ethereum. He actually did the legal documents for Ethereum. It's a really long story. You should check out the interview. But in essence, he described to the people that were starting Ethereum that what they were doing was illegal, and he didn't want to have any part of it. And when he left to silence him, because there was actually allegedly some collusion between Ethereum and the SEC, the DOJ came in, swept him up, threw him in a van, handcuffed him, threatened him with a lawsuit for extortion and said he'd never see his children again unless he ratted out pro-crypto leaders in the crypto community. This is 2017. And so far I know of two names, and this is actually the focus of what I'm going to talk about tomorrow, Naomi Brockwell and Patrick Byrne. But I suspect that there are others. I know there are others. I just won't find out until tomorrow who they are. So the DOJ has been using extortion against people since 2017 to specifically get names of people in the Liberty community that are leaders in crypto. So I think it's important people need to understand that.
What is the thing you're saying about Naomi Brockwell there?
She was one of the ones that the DOJ was targeting. So this guy, Steven Nurioff, when he was handcuffed and, you know, when the DOJ kind of went after him looking for names, and looking for information, Naomi Brockwell was one of the people on the list. And what that says to me is I suspect that's going to mean it's also Jeremy Kaufman. I wouldn't be surprised if Eric Voorhees and Roger and others are on there. The point is that the DOJ, the fact that Ian was selected, the fact that Jeremy was selected, these are not coincidences. The fact that it's all of our friends that are having their businesses destroyed and being thrown in jail and not anybody else's friends, what is the commonality? And the commonality is free trade and free speech. And so the DOJ has been pushing this. Now it's an executive order. So now it's out in the open. But the new twist on it is that this has actually been going on since 2017.
And what was that executive order again?
Executive Order 14067, and it was signed on March the 9th, 2022, and it does two things. It authorizes the U.S. government to explore a central bank digital currency, and it authorizes a whole-of-government approach to regulating all digital assets.
Wow.
So this has been in play, funded full, and they certainly have been very full steam. So what we're seeing right now is actually government policy, and it's actually out in the open. They don't need to hide it anymore. The part that most people don't know, and I found this even in the crypto community, is there's a missing piece between Roger's book and what's going on with CBDCs. And that missing link is this. When Bitcoin was hijacked, you know, in 2017, people were using Bitcoin to buy things directly through sites like Overstock and Expedia and everything else. And then all of a sudden it was slow and it was expensive and people didn't want to use it. And there was a choice, which was to increase the number of transactions per second by increasing the size of what are called blocks, which was how it was supposed to work, or, which is what they did, keep the blocks small, keep it intentionally slow and expensive, and built this experiment on top called Lightning Network. So they just cut off all of the adoption. Here's the interesting twist. The group that funded the development of SegWit and Lightning, which is what kept Bitcoin slow, was the MIT group. That same group funded all three U.S. CBDC pilots. It's literally the same guy, Joy Ito, involved with the funding of all of these things. And no one talks about this.
In MIT, you mean like the college?
Yes, the college. The MIT, they have a digital currency initiative. This is all funded out through their MIT multimedia lab. And this MIT group has been involved in all three U.S. CBDC pilots. Interestingly enough as well, one of the developers that worked on Lightning Network and SegWit is a co-author of the U.S. CBDC white paper.
Wow.
His name is Corey Fields. Mm-hmm. You can look all of this up. Like, this is even on their website, Project Hamilton website. They have the information up. You can Google it. You can see his name. You can Google Corey Fields, and you can Google Joy Ito, and you will see that Joy Ito, in addition to running the MIT lab that funded this, he ran something called Digital Garage, which was a venture capital firm. They invested in Blockstream, which is the group that is now funding Bitcoin Core developers, and it's also the group that's business model. They make money selling what are called layer two solutions to solve the problem of slow and expensive L1 on Bitcoin. So same guys, venture arm is funding Blockstream, and he's also funding SegWit, and he's also funding Lightning. The next step is, and this is Jeffrey Epstein funded Joy Ito.
Well, that's interesting.
So it literally gets worse. So all of the, and in fact, Jeffrey Epstein, you can Google Jeffrey Epstein. There's an article. He's only done one interview about this. In 2017, Jeffrey Epstein did an article, an interview about Bitcoin where he said he didn't think Bitcoin was meant to be a currency. He didn't think it was meant to be used for transactions. He thought it was meant to be digital gold.
Exactly. How can you say it was meant to be anything other than peer-to-peer cash when that's what the white paper says?
Well, you can say it if you're funding the guy that's hobbling Bitcoin while also funding the CBDCs.
Hmm.
So you lay out 2017 as the start of this. I mean, what about the arrests that occurred well before 2017? You know, you had Charlie Schramm going down in, what, 2013, 2014? You had U.S. government agencies poking into all kinds of crypto stuff, early crypto stuff. I don't want to, I certainly don't want to belittle anything because this stuff is important. And you are right, for all the right reasons, that this is critical, that we have to have control of our money, and we need to do that. But I don't want people to get the impression that, you know, suddenly in 2017 they started going after crypto. They had been going after crypto, I think, since Gavin Andreessen went and talked to the CIA,
which is early stuff. Well, to be clear, the government was going to go after it on the government has been going after it on day one, just as they had done all cryptocurrencies prior to Bitcoin, the Liberty Dollar,
sure,
and everything else that existed before Bitcoin. So I'm not saying that they ignored crypto until 2017. What I'm saying is there was a coordinated effort specifically to target pro-liberty leaders in crypto, specifically for the purpose of shutting it down to bring out central bank digital currencies. That is the arc that's different. But yeah, no, certainly they were going after everyone as they normally had in the past, but the strategy became more of how do we shut this thing down so that we can specifically at one moment in time roll out CBDC. And that's why what you're seeing right now is going on at such an aggressive pace, because I haven't talked about what the results were of those CBDC pilots. The CBDC pilot that they did in the United States, but it was between the Federal Reserve Bank of New York and the MIT group. This pilot can do 1.8 million transactions per second. So to put this in perspective, BTC does 7 transactions per second.
Mm-hmm.
So this pilot, which was completed in 2022, can do an order of magnitude more transactions than the current traditional financial system. And the part that's public is they say, well, we have a few technical details to work out, but that the main next steps are related to legality and marketing. Now, I've talked to one dev who actually worked on the project, and I'm talking to somebody else who knows somebody that's currently working on this. They have surpassed what they have published. So whenever you Google Project Hamilton, understand you're seeing what they published 2 years ago. They are well beyond what was published. And so there's something important to note about what's going on with this. So it's not only will Project Hamilton replace cash and replace the existing system as we know it, it will work with another CBDC pilot called Regulated Liability Network, RLN. And what this is one ledger that will track all CBDCs and all other digital assets. So what this means is whether you have an existing decentralized crypto or what everybody's talking now is popular, a real world asset. So people start tokenizing their homes and cars and everything else. All of that will be required to be registered and KYC'd and tracked on the same ledger as CBDC.
It just, it's definitely a really bad thing. I really think that there is evidence of them trying to get rid of cash, like you were saying, that would be the next thing, just because during COVID-19, they were like, there's a cash shortage. How? Because vending machines aren't being used right now. I don't believe that at all. Like, I remember I worked at the Mighty Moose Mart, and you guys asked me to go get, quarters or something from the bank, and the bank told me that they didn't have quarters right at that time. During like 2021.
Just ran out of quarters.
Yeah. I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all, because it's like people aren't using vending machines right now. I remember that being one of the explanations.
The thought of having all of your money and assets tracked and recorded and controlled by the government is terrifying.
No, we should be embracing this. That way we will be safe.
Mm.
You know, it's really about safety.
Aren't they the ones that we need to be safe from?
Half of what they're doing is all they're using under the guise of terrorism.
Yeah.
If we live like the Chinese, then we can be safe from the Chinese.
Exactly.
No, to me, CBDCs are the biggest single threat to human liberty. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. I've literally dropped everything that I'm doing. Once I realized, and part of what motivated this was what was going on with Ian, when I started researching what was going on with Ian, I'm like, why are they putting this much effort into it? I mean, literally, and when I researched that and when I found out what was going on with CBDCs, it clicked. And so people need to understand, I actually think, I'm calling it DEFCON 1 now, I think that we're within 6 months of having a CBDC implemented. For a whole variety of reasons. And so, like, this, we need to be all on board with stopping this.
I agree. And I do believe that this, at this point in time, trust in the U.S. government by citizens is at an all-time low. That's
as it should be.
As it should be. And I really do think that that's a trend. I mean, we see it on the left. We see it on the right. And I don't think too many people are going to be absolutely okay with every single transaction. It was okay when it was just like, you know, if you're sending more than $10,000, I mean, we need to know where that goes. And most people accepted that. They you know, we don't want terrorists to, we don't want people laundering money and sending that money to Al Qaeda or something like that.
And plus, if you disagreed with it, you're just unpatriotic.
Well, I know, but I think fewer and fewer people are going to buy that.
I kind of disagree. I think that the fact that everyone's suckling off the government teat, you know, we won't give you your Social Security. We won't give you your disability. We won't give you your food stamps. We won't give you your housing vouchers. We won't give you this and that if you don't accept this.
Well, all those systems will be paid through a CBDC.
That's right. And those people won't fight back against it because they're so in the system that they can't in their minds.
I've got some bad news. One, I think they will accept it predominantly because it will be brought about in an emergency. That's like how we got the Patriot Act, TARP, CARES, everything else. But two, the banks already actually track all of this. I actually spent some time. I took the terms of service for the four largest banks, J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and Citigroup. And I examined those contracts and looked at the terms. And here's what I found. They can cancel your account for any reason.
Yep.
I guess maybe we'll get to this.
Yep. We can do that. 603. Well, the number is 603-283-6160. We're going to be discussing more about the arrest of Roger Ver. And our CBDC is coming in 6 months. More coming up on Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. The White House is standing by its response to pro-Palestinian protests causing disruptions at colleges across the nation. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre stated that President Biden has consistently condemned anti-Semitism. She emphasized that while Americans have the right to peaceful protest, they must do so within the confines of the law. The national average for a gallon of regular gas has slightly increased Wednesday, standing at $3.66 a gallon. That's according to AAA. This price remains the same as a week ago, but is 13 cents higher than a month ago. The Federal Reserve is keeping interest rates unchanged as officials want to see more confidence in inflation decreasing before considering rate cuts. The central bank aims to bring inflation down to 2%. Interest rates have stayed at their highest level in more than two decades since July. John Schaefer, USA News.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering next drive.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
And 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency made for spending. You can pay your bills with Dash at Spritz.finance. Plus, they can send dollars to your bank if you still need those for something. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight in the studio, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Chris.
And we're talking with Aaron Day. Go ahead and give us like your website where people can find out more about you, Aaron Day.
I'm at day2024.com, which was my old presidential campaign site, but I've repurposed it. So you can see all the interviews that I've done on CBDCs. You can buy my book, The Final Countdown. And now I'm doing 4-hour workshops across the country. My next one is in San Jose, California, on May the 11th. I'm basically teaching people about what's going on with CBDCs, the failure of fiat, and then I'm actually onboarding people to crypto gold and silver. So at the end of these workshops, people will have a self-custody crypto wallet. They will have a gold back, which is one one-thousandth of an ounce of gold, and they will have a 1/5 ounce round of silver. So I'm trying to just empower people to start using these alternative assets all over the country.
It's interesting. We accept gold backs at the Mighty Moose Mart, and right now we're down to almost none because people keep buying them. As fast as we get them in because somebody is wanting to pay with gold backs, now people are, do you got any gold backs in? Do you have, how many do you have? Can you give me five? It's like, I love that.
Nice. Yes, I love gold backs. They're basically the easiest way to spend gold with what's called is very small breaking. It's broken.
Fractional.
Yeah, it's very small fractions. That way you can spend it like cash instead of walking around with a gold bar that's worth $1,000 or whatever.
So get this. They've actually created gold back ATMs. So you're going to be able to actually buy gold backs with either fiat or crypto, I believe they're working on as well. So that, I think, is a game changer. So to me, actually, this is the only way we beat CBDCs. I've been around politics for 30 years. We will not vote our way out of this. The only way out of this is, in fact, there's also a controlled demolition of the banking system going on right now because they know they have CBDCs ready to save the day when everything collapses. So the only thing we can do is collapse it first and get people using an alternative so that when everything is in a catastrophic state, we can say, hey, you don't have to take CBDCs. You can use crypto, gold, and silver. Instead, you can opt out of tyranny. And I think that's the best way forward, at least. But it's, you know, the odds are against us, but it's still possible.
I think that people really do need to start to understand that if they don't have control over their money or privacy with their money, then they really just don't have freedom, because your money is little representations of your energy that you expend when you work and what you use to gain things for yourself and your family. And if the government can look at every single thing you're doing with it, you are not free. If the government can stop you from having access to it at the click of a button, you're just not free, even if it's one of your dollars. But if it's all of your dollars, then you're 100% a slave.
Yeah, one of the most damaging things that I see people say on a regular basis is, well, if you're not hiding anything.
Yeah.
Why do you care if you're not hiding anything, if you're not doing anything wrong?
Yeah. Well, the thing about that is they will use such innocent things to go after people. Like Chris Way has always given me the example of someone who bought a hammer at some store and then a murder was conducted in that area, and they used all the records of everybody that bought a hammer in a certain amount of months.
Sure.
Which should be like totally illegal, Fourth Amendment violation, but they do things like that, and you know, they're just going after everyone. You know, they just put people in jail until they can figure out how they can make it look like they did a crime, like instead of actually like putting someone in jail because they found out that they did a crime and proved it.
Yeah, they make the evidence fit their hypothesis of what happened instead of figuring out what happened from the evidence.
When I was visiting Ian the other day, when we were all walking out, I was overhearing conversations with the other visitors, and I heard a conversation with a couple of them, and they were saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, with the feds, you're not going to win once they go up against you. You got to plea because otherwise you just got to plea for something less bad to happen.
Right.
And it's like the public, I wouldn't say the public knows that because those people visiting had their lives impacted by it. So they're probably more educated about the federal government going after people like Roger Ver and Ian Freeman.
Right.
These people know more about it because it impacted them personally. But yeah, it's just so obvious that when they go after you, they'll, like you said, make the facts, quote unquote, mold it to their points and then get you in jail for whatever reason, because they can't possibly comply to all the rules and laws that they have written down. They'll look at something you have, quote unquote, violated. They'll look for something because there's too many hundreds of thousands of laws for you to have not violated something. And as far as the Roger Ver thing, one thing that keeps coming to mind, friend of ours, Russell Canning, who's a free stater, a longtime activist here, he used to be an accountant like years and years ago, and he said that they would play a game in his office where him and all the other people would call the IRS, that there's like some hotline for accountants. All of them would ask the IRS the same exact question, and they'd all get different answers.
Of course.
Like, what are we supposed to calculate this for, blah, 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 from what, blah, blah, you know? And then they'd be like, so what you got to do is this. And every IRS agent who's supposed to know the answer gave everybody different answers. Because it's just like, they basically just want you to fill out the paperwork, and they'll leave you alone. But then if they ever need a quick, easy way to go after you later, they'll say, oh, well, you did this thing wrong, like they're doing to Roger Ver, it seems like.
How many pages is the U.S. tax code now? Last I heard was like 88,000 pages.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Sounds about right or more.
Not one single person can know everything in that. That's
of course not.
Absurd.
So, Aaron, have you actually have you read the indictment to Roger Ver yet?
I have. I want to jump back to one thing earlier, because the question about whether whether Americans would accept a CBDC. So I looked at the terms of service of all of the major banks, and here's the thing. They can shut down your bank account. They can change the fees at any time. They can restrict the access to your funds. They can sell and or share your data without your consent, and they can change the agreement at any time without your consent. The money that you have in the bank today currently doesn't belong to you, and it is currently being surveilled. It was just announced last week that the IRS is literally giving, or the banks are literally giving the IRS people's banking information for the purpose of using AI for tax purposes. So we actually have no privacy right now as it stands. The only difference for a CBDC is that it makes the money programmable, so it's even worse. So, for instance, they can just outright state you can only use this money to buy these things right out of the gates. And it's, you know, immediately censorable, and it can be tied into things like social credit systems and everything else. And so there's an illusion here that, and now, do most people know this? No, most people do not know this, but certainly, we are already being surveilled. The only difference between where we are right now is to what degree the money can be programmed. So that's,
I get that. And I think you bring up a good point. It's bad now. It's horrible now. It's my first reaction to the early talks about CBDC. I'm like, wow, they're going to track every transaction. They do that now. Unless you're paying with cash. If you're using a bank, if you're using a card, it's all being tracked. They know everything already. And the government's just going to keep going to the big banks and saying, we need a little bit more, and they're going to say, well, you know, if you're not going to find me, okay, I don't care. But it is horrible, and it's going to get worse. We know this. I just want one quote I want to throw out there. Privacy is necessary for an open society in an electronic age.
And
Eric Hughes, the Cypherpunk's Manifesto in, 1992 or 91 or something like that. That is a simple truth, and it hasn't changed. It's become more important for people to understand that simple sentence and understand what we risk. It's not losing, you know, something to the government. You're losing the ability to have an open society. Every aspect of it goes away when we turn over our privacy. And I don't know why. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're losing our free will. I mean, at this point, it's actually that severe, because once we get to this level of tracking, and once you add social credit scores, we literally don't have the ability to make decisions, which I think is a fundamental component of the nature of consciousness and you know, what life is all about. So to me, this is the battle here is that big. And I want to say, so I've been living off of crypto since 2019. I exited fiat completely, and it's gotten more difficult, obviously, with, you know, different coins going away, exchanges going away. I mean, even, you know, certain places that used to take crypto don't take it anymore. But it's important to point out that even with crypto, with Bitcoin, I mean, it is an open ledger. There are things that you can do to try to remain private, although those last week are starting to be shut down. Things like coin mixing are being shut down. So we don't necessarily have privacy with Bitcoin and Bitcoin related products. Things like Monero and Zcash and others are a great way to go. But I have to stress, I want people to think about it this way. When we get that next emergency, which, by the way, when I'm online, I'm like, it could be any day now. Is it going to be a cyber attack? Is it going to be Israel, you know, Iran? Is it going to be Russia, Ukraine? Is it going to be China, Taiwan? Is it going to be a Kent State type event going on a elite university? It could be any of those things at any point. And so when that happens, they will be able to bring this in with bipartisan support using fear. And the only way we fight back is by not participating, but we have to be able to, when they roll out CBDCs, it's not useful if a couple dozen of our friends have Monero or some of these privacy coins and we can then trade with each other. We need to be able to buy food. We need to be able to go to, you know, a farmer's market and buy groceries. We need to be able to survive off of crypto. We need to move it from being a niche asset that only a few people use to something that everybody can use as an alternative to CBDC, because otherwise it just simply won't work. It won't have any utility. So I'm going to give a talk next week on my own podcast. You know, I can go into it in more detail, but I'm going to make an open call to create an open source multi-coin wallet that is easy to use, like so easy to use you could onboard a boomer and, you know, instantly, and a multi-coin point of sale solution for businesses. And again, this has to be an open source project so that it's not controlled by a company. There's no central entity. We have to build a basic multi-coin solution that is open source to be able to have something that can compete with CBDCs. And I think that open source solution should also include gold and silver.
You seem to be making an interesting face over there, Chris. What did you have on your mind?
No, I completely agree. Those are all good paths to go down. I mean, we have had crypto solutions that are developed, not necessarily originally open source, but AnyPay was a great solution.
Yeah.
I'm not sure its current state.
Yeah.
But the idea that you could accept different cryptos as a business, for me, it was really appealing that I could do that and let someone else accept it for me, like employees, and I could still be secure through that whole transaction. That was great. Something like that needs to happen. I just don't know how far, what the economics might be of someone getting to develop that. Even open source needs economics behind it.
So let me be clear. I'm going to say if CBDCs are here in 6 months, it's an existential threat to every crypto.
Yeah.
So this should get funding from the communities in multiple coins on the basis of, if we don't build this so that it actually has utility, we're all gone and all of this is going to be wiped out. And I want to say something that when I got my first Bitcoin in 2012, I was like, wow, like it was a magical experience, right? It was fast. It was cheap. And I knew there was no banker, but there was no third party involved. It was better, easier, and cheaper to use than anything that existed. That was in 2012. Since 2012, Zelle, Venmo, Apple Pay, Google Pay, now X Payments, even FedNow have been developed. So the traditional banking system has beaten crypto in terms of Bitcoin no longer has the faster, cheaper, or easier to use. It's actually much worse on all of those things. And now it's fast, and now it's slower, now it's cheaper. And I think a lot of times within crypto, people compete with one another without realizing that we're competing for money, and it has to work in the complete marketplace against the traditional system. And we've lost. We've gotten destroyed against the traditional financial system. So what we need in this open source project, I would actually lead with a UX UI person, the designer, to create an interface that makes it easy for everyone to use, as opposed to, you know, I'm not trying to belittle coders, but coders are not known for having great expertise with UI. And a lot of times there's kind of a niche. Oh, well, I'm the only one who knows how to use this, or me and my, you know, tribe can use this. Why can't you use it? And that's not how money should work.
Yeah, that's true. But what do you mean by UI, user
interface?
User interface, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times so many people who are like well-meaning and very smart in the Liberty community here will tell me like, why are you even using Signal? You need to be using this new thing. And like, there's no possible way I'm going to figure out how to use it because it's too complicated.
Right.
And they're like, well, it's 0.1% more secure than Signal.
Exactly.
And it's just like, you guys aren't thinking of like adoption, like what will make people want to do it. AnyPay was great for that because it's so simple and easy to understand and use. And I'm really not sure what's going on with it either, but really that's like the number one thing that cryptocurrency needs. Like the other day, maybe like a month ago, I was at, I don't know if he talks about it in public, but a member of the community's house for a cryptocurrency sermon meeting, like church meetings, Shire Free Church. He's a Shire Free Church minister, and he gives a sermon about Bitcoin and then there, or cryptocurrency, and then there's a discussion after, and the discussion had turned into, by the time I got there, what is like the next thing that cryptocurrency needs for mass adoption? And so many people were just like, I just felt like completely missing the point. I was like, you know what it needs is like people to just go and ask everybody that they buy from, like, would you take cryptocurrency for this anytime you buy something? And then also really needs a new AnyPay, like something that has a bunch of people behind it. I don't even know where to start with that. I don't know anyone who can do it. We don't even have like Self411 created at this point, so I don't have personal contacts that can do it, but it is really the most important thing we need next. If you don't know what an AnyPay is, it's basically just an app that a person who runs a business can connect their personal wallet to, and then their employee who they don't trust with their literal, like, their, you know, actual bank account information, you know, because you just don't trust your employees with that, not because of anything wrong with the employees. You just don't give your employee your, like, TD Bank login, online login. So you don't have to trust them with that. All you do is hand them a tablet with AnyPay installed on it, and then the customers can go up, scan a QR code on that tablet, and send their payment directly to you, and the employee gets like a thing that pops up that says sent successfully, so they know that you actually paid. And that's what cryptocurrency needs, because the important thing about cryptocurrency is not to hold on to it like digital gold, because if while this happens, what Aaron is talking about right now, the price isn't going to be skyrocketed to the moon. There's no point in using it as an investment instead of what it was actually created for, digital cash, if it's going to be completely not used by anyone and lose value rapidly when CBDCs come out.
Right. And Aaron, I don't want you to think I'm against that idea. I completely support it. And when you posted that on X, I read that, and I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what we need to do. This needs to be something that anyone can use, first of all, and it needs to support everything, not just this, you know, you've got a solution for Dash and you've got a solution for Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. It needs to be all-encompassing, and I think you're on the right track. I think the incentive is survival, and you need more developers and people involved in these projects to realize that literally their project survival depends on this happening. That every time.
Yeah, I'm going to make a formal presentation about this next Wednesday on my podcast, The Aaron Day Show. To lay all of it out. And I already have a half a dozen designers and everything, but I want to lay out the whole scenario, because as I've talked to people, even in the crypto space, I have not found anybody that's really up to speed on how serious the CBDC threat is. But I think after my interview tomorrow and I pull all of this together, I think I will be able to make a very compelling case that the DOJ has made a concerted effort since 2017 to target the Liberty community, and that CBDCs are imminent, and in fact could be one emergency away, and that we've got to stop our divisions and try to work together to solve this, or you know, in my opinion, it's the end of free will. So that's how severe I think it is.
I agree that it's that severe. I just want to take this one call while we have some time before the break. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Yes, hello, this is Mary Newton Rothbard Jr. calling from Hartford, Connecticut. How are you all doing this evening?
I don't know if I believe you. Go ahead, Rothbard Jr.
Yes, well, I'm calling, as you know, I'm from the anarcho-capitalist school of libertarian thought, and I believe I heard the name of one of my good friends mentioned earlier, Mr. Jeffrey Epstein, God rest his soul. He was a great financier and a great man, and I miss him dearly. But, I am from the old Austrian school of economics, and I'm really not too familiar with the new cryptocurrency that you guys, you new age libertarians speak of. So I had a question about cryptocurrency, if it's okay. from the resident Bitcoin expert, Mr. Eric Gay.
Okay, what's your question?
My question is, does he believe that in the near future, we will be able to use cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, or any crypto that runs on the Bitcoin currency blockchain to pay for sex with 15 to 16-year-old girls?
do I think that that's an interesting question?
And thank you.
Well, sure.
For a junior.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
So yeah.
I think cash is the preferred, you know, vehicle for that, because remember, transactions on a Bitcoin blockchain are actually tracked. So it's more likely people would use cash for something like that.
In public, the government in Ian's case, they kept calling it pseudonymous, and that's exactly what it is. And then towards the end, when they were trying to make a different point, they kept calling it completely
completely anonymous.
Or anonymous.
No one
yeah.
could ever know.
Yeah, they would change that. That's
the point. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I could talk about the Ian case forever, and sometimes it's like, well, right, today's Roger Ver's day. And
that's what I never got about the argument against crypto, where they were like, oh, they're hiding things from you to buy guns and drugs. But that's what you use cash for.
Yep. Yep.
I was reading after Roger's indictment, I was looking into U.S. reports on money laundering and what is being laundered, what money is being laundered. And the vast majority is U.S. cash.
Huh.
You know, I mean, it's not cryptocurrency. It's not any of this. I mean, there is so little adoption of cryptocurrency. The idea that these vast criminal enterprises are just using Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies to shuffle money around, it's not the case. It would be something we could say for crypto adoption if it did.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Aaron Day. And I agree. I think that this is serious enough to be considered a possible end of free will as we know it on planet Earth if people don't stand up for themselves and their freedom and privacy in money. That's a really important thing to stand up for. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming up.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.